Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to day two of the BSMA conference. I hope those of you that attended the social event last night had a good time. For those of you that maybe had too good a time, I've asked the hotel staff to pass around Advil. Okay, so yesterday, Devendra started it off starting on a positive note about all the great things that were done in the industry helping us get through COVID. And then it sort of got worse from there. And it was interesting talking to people yesterday and last night. There was a common theme, and that common theme was that we need a kick in the butt. That we may not be as good as other industries or as good as we think we are. And when you look at this slide, I think it sort of tells a painful story with some of the staggering statistics that you see there. The one in particular that I want to point out is the last one there. 56% of products made for clinical studies doesn't get used. It's wasted. It's thrown out. That's one statistic that we have from the Tufts. On the next slide, looking even worse, that according to McKinsey, 76% of kits produced for of drug produced for a study doesn't get used. There's a service provider in this room who gave me another figure last week. 90% of booklet labels doesn't get used. So on a related note, and you'll understand how the dots get connected later, I pulled the BSMA membership in January, and I showed these particular metrics and asked them, how many of you are tracking these KPIs? 50% of the responders did not track any of them. And then you're talking basic metrics, you know, demand, you know, how many actual versus expected patients, patient enrollment rates, numbers, production plant performance, actual versus expected release dates, patient service levels, patient holidays, on-time delivery, and on and on and on. Nothing's being tracked by 50% of the members. So I suspect one reason for this, for these unacceptable realities, is if you look at the number of stakeholders, and I'm sure this list isn't complete, but if you look at the number of stakeholders that you need to kind of get your arms around, you're talking internal departments, manufacturing, QA, QC, regulatory, clin-op, supply chain, the list goes on and on. You've got CMOs and CROs and label companies and distributors. You know, that's a lot of moving parts. That's a lot of pockets of information, of assumptions, of things that could change from day to day to stay on top of. Imagine, you know, to try to stay on top of that, you don't know what's looming behind the doors of many of these. And it's no wonder why we struggle with trying to figure out what to do. So what's the problem? Most stakeholders are siloed. There's another person in this room who referred to, he was involved in commercial supply chain. And until he got involved in an ERP project, he never knew a soul in the clinical supply chain group. And I'm sure within your own organizations, there are silos of people that are impact what you do, what decisions you make, and you don't have any contact with them or means of obtaining information from them. There's a lack of end-to-end visibility. We heard a lot about end-to-end yesterday, and I will challenge that if you go back to your office and ask your staff to describe what the end-to-end supply chain looks like, some of them won't know what you're talking about, and those that do will not be able to describe adequately what that end-to-end supply chain looks like. So it's a wonder how they're able to determine how much to make, when to make it, where to store it, when to ship it, how much to ship. No wonder why we have safety stock. It's our only way of dealing with the situation and preventing the ultimate crisis of stocking out. We also have a lack of real-time data, struggle with manual systems, and a lack of aligned processes, which all translates to an inability to make informed decisions. So while some attend these conferences with the intent of hearing solutions to problems they have back at the office, learning about technologies, the reality is that by the time you get back to your office, most of what you see, most of what you intended to do is forgotten, or you're just too busy with the day-to-day and it's back to business as usual. And I think that's what makes BSMA unique as compared to other conferences that you might attend. These other conferences, I hate to say, are one and done. This BSMA is a membership of supply chain professionals and service providers that have the ability through BSMA to have ongoing interaction, which we do not just through the steering committees, but many of you may not be aware that in addition to the steering committees, we have work stream groups, which is evolving. You know, most recently we added a fourth, and based on hallway discussions yesterday, I'm sure there will be more. One of these work stream groups is the Clinical Supply and Demand Planning Group. Their scope, demand planning, which they've had a webinar on, supply planning, S&OP, inventory optimization. They even had a webinar on best practices for clinical packaging and labeling. And they meet on a regular basis to share ideas and topics and challenges. Same is true with the next workstream group there, which I prefer to call tools and technology, which and the scope is just as it sounds. You know, I would say 70 to 80% of the companies within BSMA don't have an ERP system yet, and or don't have it fully functional yet. So this particular workstream group will help those understand what is the right time to implement ERP. Do you wait till you're commercial? Do you start it on phase two? You know, what's the right time? What do I need to be ready? How do I justify it to my management? You don't just wake up one day and go from Excel to a sophisticated ERP system. What are the steps along the way? What are the solutions I could consider along the way? This group also tackles IRT. They too have had webinars on such topics as IRT best practices, digitalization, and so forth. The digitalization webinar, for example, had 23 countries on the call with your peers and providers learning from each other on what clearly was a hot topic. Transitioning from clinical commercial is another work stream group. And again, they do what it sounds like they do, that for every company in this room that has a commercial product, there's probably 10 that aren't there yet. And trying to figure out what you need to do to be successful, what skills does your organization need that maybe it doesn't have now, what tools, what processes, what culture do you need to gear up for? Those are some of the examples of what this particular group tackles. Most recently, less than 6 months ago, one of these workstream groups said, you know, we wear a lot of hats, and one of which is trying to tackle imports and exports. Can we have a call on that subject? So I identified some people who I considered subject matter experts in the field. We had well over 100, again, over 20 countries on the call. And I said, you know, here's another work stream group that's just begging to be created. I sent an email out. Within a week, 25 companies joined that group. And they're tackling such subjects as logistics, trade compliance. You'll hear later today, valuation is some examples of things. So my point is that there are work stream groups that exist within BSMA that are live entities in the sense that they're interacting with each other 12 months a year. And it's not just the heads of supply chain that are involved here. It's their subject matter experts. It's people, they're shining stars. They want to groom to become subject matter experts that are all now working beyond what they're hearing and learning about at the conference, because it takes more than just a 1 hour or a 30-minute speech to be able to implement what you're learning about today and yesterday. So today's agenda, which again was selected by the steering committee in the work stream groups, and have panelists and speakers from those various groups, is what you'll be hearing about today, starting with the upstream planning strategies for planning drug substance and drug product, clinical supply waste, navigating through a successful closeout. Now, that sounds like an odd topic to put here, but there's a little history on this one. Many years ago, there was one of the steering committee calls, and I was new to clinical, didn't know, all I knew is the FDA was coming in, and if we didn't have, weren't able to demonstrate drug accountability for the study closeouts, we weren't going to that commercial product to prove. I was freaking out. So I used the steering committee to figure out, what do you guys do? And there's one person in this room, I will always remember his answer. He says, Bill, by the time that happens to my company, I hope I'm not working there. We also have a debate in one of the panels. What should your department look like if you have a clinical and commercial product? Do you split it off into two departments, two S&OP systems, two RP systems? You're going to see, I think, some blood left on the floor as they debate that matter. And then last, I told you that we just kicked off a logistics group, and I polled those folks, what keeps you up at night? And the number one topic was valuating products, particularly not so much the commercial products, but the other products, the R&D, the samples, and so on and so forth. You know, so this, we have some experts talking about that, that hopefully that will provide some tips to keep you out of jail. And we conclude the day with the Supply Chain Management Excellence Awards. And throughout the day, feel free to stop, or you're encouraged to stop and to visit the exhibits. So I hope that you will take away from today a passion to do A, challenge the status quo. Much of the information that you need is going to require taking steps outside of your comfort zone to get the information. You know, in supply chain, you probably have no control over patient enrollment rates or screen failure rates, but that information is what will drive you to be successful. But you need to convince your end user, whoever does have on that information, how important it is to you in order for you and them to be successful in the study. Ask people you meet with today how they deal with challenges that you have back at the office. Establish efficient business processes. Now, in terms of achieving end-to-end visibility, for many of you, I think that may be an unrealistic goal, especially if you don't have a fully integrated ERP system. But at the very least, try to make sure you and your department understand what your end-to-end supply chain looks like. Understand what are the lead time variabilities that could occur in those areas, and identify ways to track those events in as real time as possible. Conduct data-driven studies. Remember what I said earlier about KPIs. Track your key metrics at the very least in order to make informed decisions. And most importantly, as I referred to earlier, become involved in the steering committees, in the work stream groups. And if there are other work stream groups, yesterday somebody approached and said, can we have a team put together for serialization? Okay, if the members want that, we can make it happen. So the point is that these work stream groups and committees and initiatives are there for you to take advantage of. Simply email me, wove me, stop me in the corridor, and tell me what list you want to be included in, and I can certainly make it happen. So thank you, everybody. So can I ask the first panel to come up, please?
And this is, I don't have any slides. I don't need that.